This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Different at 12:07. Nothing to say, but what a day. How's your boy been? All right, 12:08 on now Wednesday morning. I was telling my wife, the schedule is similar, but the hours are similar, but different because I'm already like today going around thinking I'm typically on to Wednesday already. Like I've already done two shows. I'm getting ready for a Wednesday show to be the last one on as opposed to the first one on. It's just a dynamic that nobody cares about. 12:08, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So we were just talking about the New York Giants, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Minnesota Vikings, and the quarterback who swirls around all three, Aaron Rodgers. We are meeting our quota by having a little bit of an Aaron Rodgers conversation, and we have to because every day this goes on, it gets more and more tough to understand, and we get more and more opportunities and options as now Jameis Winston has met with the New York Giants and left, and two teams are hanging out in the wind. Minnesota's fine, right? They have J.J. McCarthy one way or another. They know that Aaron Rodgers wants to come play for them. I mean, that's what we're hearing. I doubt he's focusing on retirement as much as people tell you. I think it's pretty much he wants to be a Minnesota Viking. So as we wait, Pittsburgh, who apparently has already had a contract out to him, or at least an offer out to him. I'm sure the Giants have also let him know. That's how it's reported. I haven't heard a report that the Giants have offered a contract, but they have made it very clear to Aaron Rodgers. They would like him to be the quarterback of the team next year, and hopefully to pair with a young quarterback, and I think that is a dynamic that does put more pressure on the Pittsburgh Steelers to make sure they get at least, you know, whoever they deem to be the next option. If they wait too long for Aaron Rodgers and everybody else goes, they don't have an option at quarterback. They don't have a draft pick to fall back on. And so in Pittsburgh, I'm sure it's a discussion that's even more heated
than the New York Giant one, because here I think most Giant fans don't expect to win with Aaron Rodgers, don't expect to go to the playoffs no matter who is here, still don't have faith in the coach, in the GM, and feel like it's a wasted effort anyway because the schedule's so tough, the roster's not very good, blah, 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 all the stuff we've been going over. Where in Pittsburgh, quite the opposite. Hey, we might be a legitimate quarterback away from winning our first playoff game in 8 years. We might be a legitimate quarterback away from getting back into the postseason and being a threat again in the AFC. So as they wait, a little bit of pressure mounts, and they're getting tired of it apparently out in Pittsburgh, as Cam Hayward, defensive star of the Pittsburgh Steelers, has his own podcast called Not Just Football Podcast, or the Not Just Football Podcast, and he had some thoughts on the waiting game that Aaron Rodgers is playing. This was, again, Cam Hayward of the Pittsburgh Steelers on his Not Just Football Podcast.
I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Like, either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. That's simple. That's the pitch. Like, if you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin on my back.
Playing the old, we're the Pittsburgh Steelers card. Well, you haven't been the Pittsburgh Steelers in a very long time. The fan base is fed up with your coach. The fan base is fed up with your playoff failures. Let's be honest, as terrible as Aaron Rodgers has been and all the difficulties he's had, only winning one championship with all the talent he's been presented with, he's won a playoff game more recently than the Pittsburgh Steelers have. But they're just playing, oh, with the Pittsburgh Steelers card. What else do we got from him? Apparently there was another clip.
I want to play football. I'm tired of talking about the quarterback situation. I'd rather have it done. I don't know what ends up happening. Ugh, like, I'm ready to move on in the free agency.
Yeah, we're all tired of the quarterback situation. But unfortunately, here's the thing, Cam. I understand your defense has been good. I understand you guys are, you know, a good unit. J.J. Watt, yourself, you have some stars. You've done well. The coach is good. And you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. You win every year. The fact of the matter is your team hasn't won a damn playoff game since Ben Roethlisberger left. And that is not a coincidence. And for everybody else who needs to hear this, who whether it's defensive linemen or offensive linemen or whatever else that, you know, we all think we should be focused on, the only thing that matters for the Pittsburgh Steelers, for the New York Giants, or for any team that doesn't have a quarterback is who's your quarterback going to be? And until you answer that question, the other ones don't really matter. So Pittsburgh is doing what they should be doing and waiting. Now, again, I do think there's some pressure to win there, obviously, and they don't have the draft pick to fall back on. The Giants' worst-case scenario will be able to draft a quarterback. Now, Pittsburgh could, right? They could maybe dart balls to them. Certainly, there's a bunch of different names. We've been over all of them. They could draft a quarterback, but these quarterbacks aren't ready to start day one. There's really only two quarterbacks in this draft even close to being able to start day one. And the New York Giants and most other teams might not even do that with those two if they're lucky enough to get them. But you want to be cavalier about who the Pittsburgh Steelers are? You're the, in my mind, heading into the year, certainly without a quarterback, without Aaron Rodgers, since you want to move on to the next thing, you're the third best team in your division. And you're in a division right now with a two-time MVP in Lamar Jackson, and honestly, maybe the most talented passer in the game, with the most dynamic passing attack in the game, with Joe Burrow, Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase. That is as good a trio in a passing attack as there is in the NFL. You've got Lamar Jackson, and you want to talk about a well-run franchise. You want to talk about a pitch for, hey, we're the Steelers. We're the Ravens sounds a hell of a lot better right now than we're the Steelers. So I get it. You're the Steelers, and right now, it's easy to say that when you're pitching really just against the idea of him going to Minnesota or being a New York Giant. Like when you're just you're trying to compete with the New York Giant for this player, that's kind of easy to say you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. But when you're playing this game with the Minnesota Vikings, apparently that's not enough. And you could poo-poo the idea of you're tired of talking about the quarterback. The fact of the matter is that's what's holding the Pittsburgh Steelers back. Russell Wilson last year was the reason they lost down the stretch. He was awful. He was awful in the playoff game. He completely fell apart at the end of the year. They need a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers if they're going to compete in that division against Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. Now, apparently, Bill Cowher had something to say on the subject as well. Let's hear what Bill Cowher had to say.
I personally think that Russell Wilson is your best choice. It's the better. It's going to be a better offensive line room with Fontenot coming back and moving Broderick to left tackle. I think you're looking at the best receiving core you're going to have in a long time in terms of if they can keep George Pickens or not. That'll be the next conversation that you will have to have. And I think, you know, with Arthur Smith in the second year, in theory, should take a step forward. So I think they're sitting back. And again, I think this is not unlike a Pittsburgh way of doing things, of seeing what their options are, not feeling pressed to make a decision based on the fact there's no deadline.
Oh, Bill, your lips to God's ears. Please sign Russell Wilson tomorrow, Pittsburgh. And listen, did you hear that? Play that. It doesn't even matter. Did you hear what he said about why it's best to bring Russell Wilson back? He didn't say a damn thing about Russell Wilson. He said Pittsburgh's getting better. The offensive line should be better. They've added another wide receiver in DK Metcalf. The Arthur Blank's a good offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith. I always say Blank when I don't know why. Arthur Smith is a good offensive coordinator. He didn't say a damn thing about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was terrible for them last year. I don't know how you could listen, but I hope that's what happens. I hope they sign him. I do understand. I do think there's more pressure on them because if they believe Russell Wilson is a big step up, and I heard Evan talking about this, and me and Evan actually the other day when I was in here, me and Evan argued about this in his office. He believes there is a drop off, a major drop off, a significant drop off from Russell Wilson. Obviously Aaron Rodgers, but from Russell Wilson to everybody else, Russell Wilson to Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson to Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson to whomever else. He believes that it's clear that after Aaron Rodgers, the next best quarterback is Russell Wilson. And if you fail to get Russell Wilson, you are doing a major detriment to your team by being forced to do Jameis Winston or whomever else. I don't view it that way. I don't view a major difference between Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. I really don't. Now, between the two of them and Joe Flacco, yeah, I think there's probably a step in between those two, but not enough where I'm going to not take my chances at Aaron Rodgers. But the thing the Giants have is they don't have any expectations attached to them, and they have the ability to draft one of the two top quarterbacks in this draft. And worst comes to worst, they would love to do the veteran quarterback with the young draft pick. And whoever it is, whether it's Flacco or Jameis, they can still accomplish that. Or worst case scenario, if they don't view it, if those guys all sign or those guys aren't worthy to them or whatever the case may be, you can always just go right to the young quarterback and start him from day one. You are picking him third overall. There's justification for it. That's typically the way it's gone in the NFL over the last 10 years or so. Like, there is no like, they can wait much longer than Pittsburgh can. The drop-off in quarterback doesn't matter as much to the New York Giants as it does the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the difference between them winning a playoff game and not. That's the difference between them and you know, Tomlin, you know, justifying himself to the fans or not. That's the difference on, you know, oh, we're the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's my sales pitch. Well, your sales pitch sucks unless you get a quarterback to go win some games. The New York Giants don't have those expectations. People believe they're going to win five or six games with Aaron Rodgers. People think they're going to win five or six games with Shador Sanders. People think they're going to win five or six games with Jameis Winston, Cam Ward, Joe Flacco. It doesn't matter. The Giants aren't very good. The Giants have an impossible schedule, and the Giants play in one of the toughest divisions in football now with the Super Bowl champions and Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. So good luck to them, no matter who the quarterback is. Where Pittsburgh, hey, that's a playoff team. They're a perennial winner. They'll find their way. This is what they do. Well, it's hard to do that with Joe Flacco as your quarterback. I feel like there's a high school reunion going on in the control room right now. I don't know what's going on. Everybody knows everybody. They're hugging. I don't know what's going on right now. This is so rare to me. Nobody's ever
here. One more coming in. Marco's coming in.
Here comes Marco. Marco, join the party. Did you bring the beach ball?
Talk about a clown car.
What the hell is going on in there? I have been here for 2 years doing this overnight gig. Never, and I know I'm filling in for Keith tonight, I have never seen this many people in the building, let alone in one room.
I didn't know you could fit that many people
what
in
there. What is going on
I could barely
there?
Open the door. All I was going to do was say that there's an old Cam Ward. I can hear you down the hall.
Yeah.
One of the rare times, and I heard you talk about sales pitch. Mm-hmm. There's an old Cam Ward from July of last year talking mm-hmm. about his sales pitch to get Russell Wilson.
Right.
He went all in, talking about hours to talk to Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers, you want to play here, man?
Yeah.
If you want to play here, man.
How about that?
So I'm pretty sure Cam Hayward is not an Aaron Rodgers fan.
It doesn't sound that way.
But I don't think you could hear that because there's 97 people in the
other
room.
During this whole rant, I was distracted by how many people were in that room.
You should be. You should be.
It's ridiculous. What are they doing in there?
I don't know. Do we really need like seven people here in the building? Never mind all in that room?
No. And then they're all
Do they all work here? That's the question.
Right. Well, apparently.
Did we know that? Did we check there?
Well, I mean, Justin did an update.
True.
Was that his first update?
Yes, it was.
Oh. So Justin just officially is working mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. I know Pat Boyle works here.
Boyle was in there? I just saw were bodies. I turned around and walked out.
I mean, I'm not sure Rami works here, but they figured, you know, somebody needs to push the buttons. And
Rami's been here since 11 a.m. He doesn't want to leave.
Yeah, that's right. Hang out, buddy. He's had so many travel issues, he's afraid to leave the building. And in the idea that he won't be able to make it back.
He's trying to catch up to CeeLo on most hours spent here.
Yeah, exactly right. Good luck with that. But no, seriously. And then Boyle walks in. It's like, someone tossed them a beer and there was high fives and hugs. I was like, what's going on in there? I don't know what is going on.
I don't think we should be drinking on the job.
Well, I mean.
I'm just saying.
Boyle's not on for an hour and a half.
I think that's frowned upon.
Yeah.
I think it's frowned upon.
Probably. Although, but he's not on the job yet.
If he doesn't know
He's Irish
it.
And his name is Patty. Yeah. He gets a full St. Patrick's
week. He gets
week.
The whole week to just, you know, have a little bit.
That's true. Destroyed in
but I mean, yeah, I've never. I
see Nico over there. He's training too.
I see
too.
Nico's training. So we've got the trainee. Mm-hmm. We've got your trainee. We've got Pat Boyle and we've got Rami and Fleeks. All in the control room at the same time.
Too many people.
Too many people.
Once my fat ass started to open the door, that was it. Shut the door. Let's move out.
Yeah. I mean, it's uncomfortable. It's stuffy.
Yeah, nah, you can't fit in there. And it is. It's very stuffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But more than that, it's just I'm not used to it. It threw me off my game.
Again, I don't think there's that many people in the building usually.
Never.
I mean, we're used to only seeing each other and maybe Keith.
Yeah, that's it. I see Keith as he's walking out, and I see Fliegelman and you every hour.
And every I pop in.
That's it. Every hour you pop in. Mm. It's like Mr. Rogers and the mail comes. Like, that's it. That's
I'm like
who
a
you
fungus.
Are.
I just kind of keep coming back. Yeah.
You're the neighborhood mailman from Mr. Rogers. I put on the sweater. I put on my sneakers. I sit down. The mail comes in once an hour. Like it's,
and you can tie it back into the Steelers because Michael Keaton, famous Steelers fan, got his start in hot showbiz working on that show.
Is that a fact? I didn't know that. Do you know his name isn't Michael Keaton?
I know it's not his real name. I don't know what his real name is.
Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
But he changed it because there was already Michael Douglas, whose father was Kirk Douglas, and he just wanted to get out of the Douglas family.
Well, they kind of told him you couldn't have that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The story I heard.
I assumed he just changed it because there was too many.
No, you would have. That's why, like, some people add initials. You can't have the name of somebody who already has the SAC card.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The story I heard was he needed to come up with something. He couldn't figure it out. And they were like, well, who are you going to be? And he's like, I don't know. I'm Michael Douglas. I don't know. I've never been anybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And the story was that there was a magazine on the desk and the cover was Diane Keaton. And he goes, what the hell? I'll just be Michael Keaton. That's how the story goes.
How about that? Now, I was just thinking in my head, Michael Jordan did do.
Space Jam.
Is
that why Michael B. Jordan is
that
Michael
why
B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan is Michael B. Jordan? Because Michael Jordan has a SAG card from...
Even if not, you probably want to differentiate yourself.
That's probably true. Just from Michael Jordan.
Why do I have
his
to be
his fame kind of transcended sports.
Nobody's getting that reference.
No.
Michael Bolton from Office Space. Why don't you just go by Mike?
Yeah.
Why do I have to change my name? He's the one that sucks. So
you're right. None of us got it.
Yeah, well... Watch Office Space. What can I tell you? It's a great movie.
I'm very upset at myself for not getting that. I've seen that movie a ton of times.
Yeah. There's only a couple of references you get from that movie. Right? There's the I'm going to need you on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Then there's the
What exactly it is you do here. Yeah, there's that. I also kind of like the fact that it's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. I use that one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For all of the like movies and TV t-shirts that you wear, I'm surprised that's not one of them.
Which one?
It's not that I'm lazy, I just don't care.
It's not that I'm lazy, it's that I just don't care. I do have that one, you just haven't seen it.
Do you really?
Oh yeah, 100%.
You have comedies? I thought you were strictly like, you know, mob movie t-shirts. What do you got on today?
No, I'm eclectic. Let's see if you get this reference.
Paper Street Soap. Oh, that's, I think we've had this conversation off air. That is Fight Club.
Correct.
The soap they make in Fight Club.
Paper Street Soap,
yeah.
Soap Company.
Which is made from human fat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They sell their fat asses right back to them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm eclectic. I like to, you know, show off a different variety.
I wouldn't call usually, that a comedy, but that's...
No, it's definitely not moments, a comedy. Yeah. But I also like the subtle. So you don't really see me with like a movie t-shirt, not a movie poster. Right. I don't wear that. I like the things that are a little bit more subtle.
Right.
You see me walking down the street, like, no idea what the hell the paper
fans of the movies to be the ones who see a shirt and know what it means.
Mm-hmm. That's a dangerous game for you, though.
Why is that?
Because you don't like people. And the person who would recognize that probably now wants to talk to you about it. Like if you were just walking by with like, you know, I don't know, Godfather, whatever, just like the Godfather, people would recognize, oh, nice shirt, and that's it. But if you wear some abstract thing like the painting from Goodfellas, now you've got someone, that's my favorite scene of the movie. Where did you find that? I need that. What site did you find that on?
It's happened a few times, unfortunately.
But doesn't it mean like that's at least a conversation that you might be willing to have? Like this person?
No,
it's
not.
A normal,
it's
not. That's not a conversation he's willing to have.
No.
Marco has no interest in that conversation with anyone.
I got caught a couple of those like in the store. Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that.
No.
I mean, it's a dangerous game, yes, but I mean, I'm here for my amusement. I think that's all pretty obvious, right? I'm not here for anybody else. I'm here for my amusement to make myself happy. Right. These are the things that I like.
If you were here for anybody else, that would be an interesting way you're going about it.
So, right. Obviously, I'd be failing.
Right.
I mean, monumentally. Mm-hmm. So I'm here for my amusement. Right. So if I get caught in that situation, what I usually do, I smile, I nod, I keep walking. I'm kind of rude.
Yeah.
But I'm not overly aggressively rude. I'm just kind of, you know. Maybe just when you think about it, when you step back, you go, that guy was kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
But usually in the moment, you kind of smile at me and you let me walk.
I think you get that from time to time, just especially what we do. Like, people find out what I do and then they immediately, like today I had something to do at the bank or whatever, and the guy asked me what I did. So what do you think about the Jets? Like, almost immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he didn't even take a pause.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just like, oh, man, what are the Jets going to look like this year? Like, and then sometimes, like, so when people walk up and just, like, want to talk sports, it's almost like, I think the Jets are going to be great. I'll see you later. Like,
you say, this is when I'm on. Yeah. There's a podcast if you want to hear what I say yesterday. Exactly. Otherwise, 888-808-1019. Yeah,
right. Mm. What did the Joker say in Batman? Never do something for free. If you're good at it, never do it for free.
And that brings us back to Keaton.
Yeah. Right, exactly right.
You think he wants Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. The next time someone asks me about the Jets, I'm going to give him your phone number. Like, call up Fleeks. He'll talk Jets exclusively.
Not anymore. Not a Jets fan for Don.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I hear what you're saying, and I believe you believe it now. What's going to happen week one? What's going to happen week one?
I'm going to watch Red Zone.
You're not going to watch the Jet game?
I mean, it'll be on. I'll watch it.
You won't focus on it.
I won't be active. I think them winning is a bad thing this year.
You'll still be locked in.
There's no amount of
Once they
wins,
kick the ball off, you'll be locked in.
No, I was not locked in at the end of last year.
And I'm not even calling you a liar because I believe you believe it now. But it won't register with you.
There will be a day where I will be locked in again.
This year?
No.
I find it hard to believe.
I have to actually go do part of my job, so
sure
I got to walk
away.
Not that you need me here.
Go find more cuts.
Tell you this, if we get Rodgers and the Steelers versus the Jets week one, I'll be locked in because I will have a lot of money on the Steelers.
That was a little aggressive.
Well, I mean, yeah.
A little aggressive.
I was talking about how many people were in the room. You came in here and started talking about a cut that I didn't really care about.
I was going in there to give them a cut for you.
Oh, that's right.
For you.
Oh, yeah, for me. I did it for you.
And you played it on the show.
I wore this ridiculous thing. And did I play it? Then I ended up playing it? No, he's got a new one, apparently.
It's not
you didn't
new.
Hear it because you were in there with all your friends.
You had too many people.
I couldn't get in the room.
There was an original
what I was
new
saying
one,
was there's the one in there with Cam Ward from July with Russell talking about Russell Wilson. Hayward. Talking
about that's what threw me off. You said Cam Ward the first time,
all right,
too.
I meant,
and I was like, what did Cam Ward have to say?
No, he had nothing to say. I don't know what he had to say.
He said Cam Hayward apparently was very interested in courting Russell Wilson. And he was less abrupt than he is with the Aaron Rodgers thing.
But it's from last July when he was doing it for last year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, to give Marco some credit, he did run out after the 12 o'clock update, and he put in that second Cam Hayward cut that we played about not being interested or tired of the QB situation in general. That was new when we played it.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for that, then.
I tried, and then you told me to go get my shine box.
Well, because I was confused by what Cam Ward had to do with this.
Because I have to do my job, I'm going to walk away now. All right? I'm going to walk away.
Thank you, Marco. Now, please, get them the hell out of there. Help them. Go look for cuts with them. Man, oh, man. The room, I'm not kidding. I've never seen it like that in 2 years. Never. There were seven people in there. I came into work. I did the 7 to midnight shift for Keith on Monday, and I came in early, you know, meet with the boss, remind him I work here, see some people. And there were less people that I interacted with all day yesterday than were in the room right now. It's unheard of. It's unheard of. I'm sorry I got sidetracked and had to open and, you know.
I mean, it's almost like Francesca ordered a pizza pie and left it out there. That's how many people were here.
Right. That's the only way. Right, someone open up a Twinkie and all of the engineering department will show up in the room.
There's 12 donuts. Here's 30 people trying to eat them.
All right, we had a little fun. We'll get back to business right after this. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on this now Wednesday morning. A little bit of football talk. A little bit of how do the Giants handle this? Is there more pressure on Pittsburgh to sign the quarterback they believe in, their plan B, as opposed to Aaron Rodgers, knowing that there is legitimate pressure to win where the Giants don't have that same pressure and have the fallback of possibly drafting Shedeur Sanders or even Cam Ward at this point, where you could go to them right from day one. It feels like, yes, Pittsburgh is probably the better destination, but can Pittsburgh play this game that Aaron Rodgers wants to play? Not as well as the Giants can right now.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:39, McMonagle here with you on this now Wednesday morning, filling in for Keith. Got you till 2 o'clock. I think Pat Boyle will come your way. If he's not too busy, you know, chatting it up back there. I'm sure he'll find the time. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. We rambled for a lot and had a little bit of fun. I want to get to you guys. Speaking of fun, saw something today that took me back to my childhood. We'll get to it next. Lawrence in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, what's up? Nice talking to you again.
Nice talking to you again, Lawrence. What's going on?
So, listen, as I look deeper into the whole Giants quarterback situation, I think about when this regime first got here, I was already convinced that Daniel Jones was not the option, and I thought that this regime was going to give him a year and then move on from it. Mm-hmm. And they did not do that, and they ended up paying him. So that was like strike one for me. Mm-hmm. And then last year, they passed up multiple quarterbacks in the draft, which is all right, whatever. If you're not liking the guys, maybe we'll figure it out this year. But this year, if they do not go the direction of getting a young rookie quarterback, I'm fine with that. But that means this regime has to go because they cannot assess talent. If you're telling me with the third overall pick, there's not a quarterback out there who can make this team better instantly, then you're not. There's going to be a quarterback out there who's available at that pick, and we have to find him.
That's an interesting take, Lawrence, and I don't disagree with you on some. I mean, it's not as easy as you're saying it. It like just not finding that quarterback isn't proof, but I do agree with your assessment that for all the talk about how bad the quarterback draft is, there's a quarterback in this draft. Might not be Patrick Mahomes or even Joe Burrow or but. There's a quarterback in this draft who is going to be a franchise quarterback who wins. There's no doubt. There's going to be a great, NFL-level quarterback in this draft. And that's why I get mad at people, like when they talk about the Giants drafting Saquon Barkley, and I'll say, Barkley was a mistake, and they'll be like, well, who was the option? Everyone was going to take Sam Darnold there. Sam Darnold was a bust. Well, yeah, okay, maybe, but you know what? Why can't the Giants be the smart organization that's smart enough to take Lamar Jackson or take Allen, who was sitting there in that draft too? Like, it's, you're right. There's going to be a draft. There's going to be a quarterback in this draft, and there was going to be a quarterback in last year's draft too, Lawrence. That was good enough to be successful, and they passed on them. You're 100% right. 100% right. And it's up to the New York Giants to find him. I don't disagree, but I'll also say it's not that easy. That quarterback might not be the quarterback who's ready to start from day one, and that's kind of what they would need if they don't get the veteran quarterback. If they're just going to go on the draft, they have to. This regime has to prove it, like you said. If they don't find that guy, say that guy is one of these other quarterbacks, right? Say the guy is, for example, Jackson Dart, right? Let's say he's the guy that is going to be the best quarterback in this draft, that 10 years from now we're talking about a franchise quarterback who's been in the playoffs 7 out of 10 years and has been to a Super Bowl. Like, say he's that guy. Most people, considering the offense he ran in college, don't think he's ready from day one. How does this regime, as you put it, who need to prove they can find talent, how do they prove they found that in year one? Like, that's the only tricky situation about what you're saying. Because if it's not Shedeur Sanders, and if it's not Cam Ward, and if they can't get one of those two, I still think they should take a shot on a quarterback, whether it's the first round. And I don't know if I would do it at three. I would try and trade back in to the first round to get him, or just take him with my top of the second round pick. But you're right. They need to find the quarterback. They need to be smart enough to figure out who it is, and they need to get him. Now, unfortunately, if it's Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, theoretically, they might not even have the opportunity to do it. That's the thing that sucks. That's why I'm so disappointed in the game they won against the Colts, because at number one, they would absolutely, without question, have the ability to draft who they believe is the best quarterback in this draft. They don't have that ability sitting at three. They just don't have it. And if that guy takes time, if that guy's going to end up being a Dart or a Howard or whomever, Shuck, whoever some of these names that you're hearing, like if it's one of those, that takes time. And how does this regime buy itself time? Because those guys might end up being the best quarterback in the draft 5 years from now, but who knows what they'll be in year one, and especially Dart, who's like that next name. You know, he was pretty much, you know, he's running that 7-on-7 type offense that doesn't prove he can be an NFL quarterback and probably needs some time to adjust to being under center a little bit and doing some things differently in the NFL. So I don't disagree with you, though. It's up to them to find the right guy. I always hate that discussion. I get into a lot of my Giant fan friends who defend the Saquon Barkley pick. They use Sam Darnold being a bust with the New York Jets as the definitive answer to the question. Oh, well, what, they could have drafted, you said they want a quarterback. Okay, they could have taken Sam Darnold. He was a bust. Yes, they could have taken Sam Darnold. They also could have taken Lamar Jackson. They could have taken Josh Allen. Like, they could have been smart enough to recognize that those were the two talents in that draft after, you know, with the second overall pick. Like, we never hold players, like, we never hold them account. We're real quick to call them a bust, like Evan Neal, right? You want to talk about evaluating talent? Everybody had Evan Neal justified for that pick. Everybody had him as one of the two best offensive linemen in that draft in that moment. Everybody, across the board, nobody thought Evan Neal was going to be a bust. Nobody. But yet we kill them for it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying they get killed for making that pick. What a disastrous pick. How do you fail in that pick? Everybody looking for an offensive lineman would have had no problem taking Evan Neal out of Alabama. Nobody. So why don't we hold the same standard when we talk about the picks they missed? They should have been smart enough to recognize it. Now, it's also where they go in development. Like, if Sam Darnold went to Buffalo with Brian Daboll, is Sam Darnold better? I don't know if he's Josh Allen, because Josh Allen's special, but could he have been better than he was with the Jets? I absolutely think he could have. Are there places where he could have went to? Or and then it works vice versa. You know, if what's his name doesn't go to Denver and work with Sean Payton, does Bo Nix lead the Giants to the playoffs last year? The way he did in Denver? Like, I don't know. It's not just a guarantee, but I do agree they need a damn quarterback, that's for sure. They need a damn quarterback and they need to draft one. And I'm hopeful that for all the, you know, reasons why Rodgers would pick another team, I'm hopeful the Pittsburgh Steelers listen to their former head coach and decide they can't pass up on Russell Wilson, because there is a difference between Pittsburgh and the Giants right now. Expectations, number one, and number two, the ability to still be able to draft a top pick, a top quarterback in this draft, where that's really not on the table for Pittsburgh. Could they get a Jackson Dart? Maybe. Trade up and take him. Could they take one of these other quarterbacks? Sure. But not a quarterback that starts right away, and not a quarterback that's justified to start for the Pittsburgh Steelers to try and get them back to the playoffs and win a playoff game for the first time in forever. So the Giants don't have those expectations. The Giants don't have those needs. The Giants don't, you know, have that. They can wait for Aaron Rodgers, where if Pittsburgh misses out on Russell Wilson and they deem him to be clearly the next best guy, well, if he goes to Minnesota, or if, you know, they continue to wait and you miss out and he signs with the Giants or he signs with someone else, what's Pittsburgh going to do if they don't land Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson? If the Giants miss out on Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, they could fall back on the drafted quarterback. Let's go to Kyle in Hampton, Connecticut. What's up, Kyle?
What's up, McMonagle? How you doing, brother?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I wanted to talk a little Yankees.
Sure.
I've been hearing this projected batting order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Austin Wells leading off, number one.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time a Yankee catcher led off?
You know, it's funny you say that because I thought for sure the report was never. I could have sworn Jack Curry was on a broadcast saying no catcher had ever led off for the New York Yankees. But on today's game, I was listening, and Michael Kay referenced that Yogi Berra had led off before for the New York Yankees. Now, he also played left field, so maybe he never led off as a catcher, but it's either been never before or Yogi. You have to go back to all the way to Yogi Berra.
How about this? How about Russell Martin, maybe?
Or no, he definitely did not. Now, there have been catchers. Kendall led off, I think, with Milwaukee.
Yeah,
there have been some catchers who have led off.
Biggio.
Biggio might have led off as a catcher, absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah, now, there have been also, like, you know, Schwarber isn't a catcher, but, I mean, same body type, same issue. And Schwarber is the leadoff hitter for a very potent Philadelphia offense. So
do you think this is the best route to go? They're giving up on our middle infield as potential, you know, speed and contact.
I don't know if you've heard me, Kyle. I really don't care about speed at the top. I think it's overrated, particularly for this New York Yankee team. You want to go first to third, no doubt. You know, Judge hits one in the gap. You want to be able to possibly score from first. Sure. I'm not saying speed has no advantage whatsoever. Speed has advantage at any situation, clearly. And would I prefer a prototypical leadoff guy? I guess, but all I really care about is on-base percentage. Especially in front of Judge, you're not going to steal bases in front of Judge and risk outs on the base path in front of the best hitter on
Makes
the planet.
Sense.
You're just not going
right,
to.
You're not, right.
So, I mean, and again, so my point is speed still plays, you know, first to third, first to home, no doubt. But the idea that you're going to get this, you know, if Volpe has a great year and becomes the player we all hope and he's hitting leadoff, he gets on base, you could forget the idea of 40, 50 stolen bases because he's never going to steal in front of Judge ever. He's just not going to do it.
Yeah.
So I don't love it. I'm not telling you, yes, you know, Wells, the best leadoff hitter in the American League. But I do think compared to some of the options, I'll tell you why I like it. One, I do like a little bit of power there, and I think the Schwarber effect proves it a little bit. But he's not the only one with pop. Like Jazz gives you speed and a little bit of pop. But
I was thinking Jazz too.
Yeah, that's an option, and I think you'll see it. I don't think it's going to be exclusive Wells as the leadoff hitter.
It killed me.
But I mean, I think he works there. You get a fastball in front of Judge. He can hit one in the short porch. I think they like it. They like his bat, and they think he sees a lot of pitches, first off. We'll see if his on-base percentage warrants it. I don't care about speed, as I just said at the top. And then the other thing it does is it provides a ton of speed at the back end. Because say you put speed up front with Jazz or Volpe or Dominguez even, because that was floated around earlier in spring and it's never come to fruition. I don't think they would do it, but it was floated.
Look.
If you put speed at the top, now you have to put Wells and Rice or whoever else at the back end. You got no real, you know, Judge can run, but I wouldn't call it speed. Bellinger can run, but I don't know if I'd call it speed. Then you got, obviously, the first baseman, Goldschmidt. Then you got Rice. Then you got Wells. And then you go a long gap without having any speed, where I love the idea of speed in the, like, 5-6-7 or 6-7-8. And then you've got speed on the bases leading into the lesser hitters at 8-9, where now I can play games. Now I can move runners over. Now I'm not so afraid of outs on the base path. Now I can hit and run. Now I have speed leading to the top of the order. Like, I kind of like the idea of having a bunch of speed at the back end and being able to manipulate and try and manufacture runs with my lesser part of the lineup, as opposed to seeing speed wasted where I'm trying to hit home runs and drive the ball. So, like, I hear what you're saying. You know, you've been watching baseball a long time. We all have. The idea of a slow-footed catcher as your leadoff hitter, it's not typical. It's not what you love. You know, we went in talking about there's really no leadoff hitter for this team, and the answer is Wells. Does that really make sense? Again, I'm not saying it's a perfect solution, but I look at this team, and I don't definitely see a better one. And I also think the idea of you need speed there is a faulty line of thinking that is a little outdated. And certainly for this New York Yankee team, you have to take advantage of Judge. And I don't want one single out. I'd rather just leave. Judge hits 50 home runs a year. The leadoff hitter's on in scoring position at first base. I don't want to risk outs. You're not going to steal. So, yes, a ball in the gap, Wells won't score where maybe Volpe or Jazz would. I get that. I'm not saying speed is irrelevant, but I think it's a bit wasted at the top. And I do love the idea of stealing bases and hit and run and being able to try and manufacture some runs at the back end where, you know, you have the two different type of lineups. You have whatever slug you have, and I do think they have some slug. I think Wells can hit home runs. I think Judge can hit home runs, obviously. I know Judge can hit home runs. I think in this ballpark, I could see Bellinger as a 30 home run guy, easy. You know, Goldschmidt hits home runs in his career when Stanton comes back, obviously. Even Ben Rice is hitting the ball out of the ballpark. Dominguez, like they've got, I could easily see 25 home runs out of Jazz. So they've got some pop, particularly at the top of the lineup. And then in the back of the lineup, they have athleticism. They have speed. They have the ability to manufacture runs. Like, I think the lineup has a chance to be really good. It has a chance to be bad, too, if none of this happens, if Bellinger isn't that guy, if Goldschmidt really is washed and falls off the table, if Jazz, you know, struggles as opposed to what he was at the end of the beginning of the second half last year for them, then none of this works. But if you get representative to positive seasons out of all of these guys, which isn't crazy, I'm not asking them to be all-stars, just, you know, what they were last year or, you know, what they were their best year over the last 2 years, like, you get a really dynamic offense and much longer and deeper than last year. Let's go to Mitchell in Fort Lee real quick. What's up, Mitchell?
Hey, Big Mac. So we start the season next Thursday at Yankee Stadium.
Yes.
And again, we go back to the same conversation we haven't had yet, but we'll have it now, that the Yankees, they went so far, even with the injuries, but we still haven't solved our two major problems. Third base is one of them, and I don't like Cabrera at third base. And number two, we have no bench. So the Yankees, again, have not used all their efforts to be able to take the team for a full chance of building the team to be strong instead of being not going all the way. Would you agree here? And I just don't understand. How can we saw it last year in the playoffs? Cabrera's not a third baseman all year round. He's not. And LeMahieu's not coming back. Who knows when he'll ever come back.
Well, again, but you talk about the playoffs. There's 6 months between now and then. I don't know. I don't know who's going to you speak like you know who the third baseman's going to be. I don't know.
I don't have it, but, I mean, everyone says, well, let's go trade for the guy from St. Louis. So that was the smart thing to do, but now you couldn't do it because, quote-unquote, everyone called and said, trade Stroman, and thank God we still have Stroman, because without him, we really have a problem in pitching staff. Mm. So the Yankees have, but they're willing to spend money. So why wouldn't they spend the money for Arenado, put him at third base? He's a defensive guy. He might not give you everything in the batting order for the hitting, but at least you have a defensive guy in there in the field. Or what's story with Peraza? Can this guy play, or is he just, he was
I think he's going to be part of the bench you're talking about. I think he's going to be on the bench. And we'll find out what he is, and maybe he'll platoon a little bit and hit against left-handed batters because Cabrera is far better lefty hitter than he is right-handed hitter. So you could see a little bit of a platoon. I don't know if I'd call it a straight platoon, but I think Praz is going to be on the bench and part of the team. Ascara is killing it as the backup catcher. Like, the bench is young and inexperienced. Grisham's, had 4 or 5 home runs? You know, we forget Grisham. Ask Met fans about Grisham in that series in 2022. Like, he's been a proven player. He's been a starter for the San Diego Padres. Like, he's not an awful bench piece. I mean, yeah, if you want to go back to 96 when they had, you know, Tim Raines and Cecil Fielder and Darryl Strawberry and, you know, Wade Boggs and, you know, Charlie Hayes or whatever. Yeah, the bench was better and the bench has been better, but... You know, they have money and stars. The bench is what it is. I'm not overly concerned about the bench necessarily. I do agree with you about third base. And Oswaldo Cabrera being on the bench as a utility infielder helps this team immensely. That's another reason why I want it. It's not even so much I hate Oswaldo Cabrera. I don't know if he's an everyday third baseman. I think they should go get one so that they could use him as a utility infielder because I think that's where he shines.